testing. All right. It is good to almost see you this morning. If you can hear us, can you like honk your horn? Oh, if you can hear us, can you honk your horn? All right. Thank you. I want to read for you a portion of scripture as we start this morning that we will look at in just a moment. And then we'll read scripture, and then we will sing three songs. You may have the song sheets that we tried to mail out to you this week, and then we will come back and have a devotional from this passage. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark, saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and said to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to him, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were running, going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter, and came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not completely understand the scripture that Jesus must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away to their own homes. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this Easter morning. You have given us the ability, the access to get together in this way. We thank you for that. We pray that our time together would be encouraging, and that as we study the Word of God, we would find inspiration and instruction for the days ahead. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Cal is going to come and lead us. Kim from the piano inside. Invite you to sing along or participate as best you can with them this morning.
Take out your song sheets, and you can remain seated as we sing all three of these Easter hymns. Lord, I lift your name on high. My Savior. coming day, Jesus, my good singing.
All right. Is this a little better? All right. We're going to be looking at John chapter 20. If you have your scriptures this morning, be looking at the subject or the title, Locked In and Locked Out. Well, happy Easter. You probably expected me to say that, and you expect me to say that each year on Easter Sunday, happy Easter. But are you happy? Am I happy with this particular Easter? Easter is typically a big event. I look forward to it as a pastor. Churches look forward to it. Communities look forward to it. Number of activities, but especially centered on church, wisely. But for a church, we look forward to it. It's a big event. Typically the best attended service during the year. The music is among the best of the year. And then there's the food. I remember many Easter breakfasts and Easter brunches like we have typically had here. A lot of good memories. But this year, we're locked out. And I look through the windows at an empty and a dark room. I could not have imagined that even 2 months ago. Locked out. And for the most part, locked into our homes. Traditions are out the window. You think about that, and that may not be all bad for us as a church. But traditions, good traditions, are out the window. And life, as we have thought of it as normal, has been stripped away. And there is little left to normal except three words. Christ is risen. May I encourage you to cue your emotions? Now, our emotions, our feelings, are not the engine to run the train of our life. They're the caboose. The engine that drives our life are the facts, and especially the facts of the Word of God. But for a people, a community, a church, a nation, a world that can use some encouragement, here it is. And cue your emotions. Christ is risen. That one fact shares with us three realities. That means death is conquered. Sin is covered. We can now know peace with God. Wherever you may be this morning listening to me, in your home, in your car, let me encourage you to shout this out. And kids, this is your chance to try and outshout your brother, your sister, and your parents are going to approve of it. So let me make the statement, and then you shout it out to your little crowd there. And if I can hear it, great, but shout it out, at least say it. Just repeat after me. Number one, death is conquered. All right, that's a good start. Let's ratchet it up. Number two, sin is covered. All right, we're rolling now. That train's out of the station. Number three, peace with God. All right, let's keep that going. Every Easter is a happy day because Christ is risen. And that means Easter 2020 is a happy day because Christ is risen. Here's our truth for today. Since Christ is risen, I can even be stuck at home and still be at peace with God. Since Christ is risen, I can even be stuck at home. Nothing about my life may be normal right now, but I can still be at peace with God. I can still have peace with God. And I can still share peace with God for those who know no peace. Easter 2020 can be the best Easter for us today, for it comes closest to reflecting the first Easter evening nearly 2,000 years ago. And this is what we get from our text, our scripture this morning. The connection with that first Easter evening and our Easter today is amazing. Let's come to our text. And we're going to check out, look at the setting, the sights, and then draw some significance and application. We pick up our story again in verse 19. Peter and John have been to the tomb. They found it empty. They've returned to their home. So the disciples went away, verse 10, to their own homes. Here we go in verse 19. It was evening on that day, the first day of the week. And when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. We're going to stop right there for a moment. The doors were shut. The disciples were inside for fear of the Jews. Let's look at the setting. Where are we? It's Easter evening and we are in lockdown. Our text says the doors were shut. In the Greek, that means they were locked. They were secured. The disciples are locked in, praying that outside threats are locked out. They hope the menacing virus of persecution does not find them, does not overtake them. They are hiding in fear, likely running low on energy, likely near empty emotionally. As we think of all that they have witnessed, experienced over the last 3 days. And here we have some guys who are in that process of believing, even as they leave the tomb, but they still lack a big picture piece. They still lack a big picture perspective. There's the setting that we step into in John chapter 20. What about the sights? What is there to see? Let's look at it from two angles. The sight of no Jesus, the sights of no Jesus, because there'll be a couple of them, and the sights of yes Jesus. What do I mean? Let's look at when they look and they do not see the body of Jesus Christ. And let's look at what happens and what they see and what we can learn as they do see the resurrected body of Jesus. First of all, the sight of no Jesus. Let's move back into the first couple of verses in the chapter. We read them to start our service. In John 5, 6, 7, and 8, John is going to mention seeing three times, the action of seeing. Now, as John writes, he uses three different words to translate what we basically see as one word in the English language. But he uses three different words to describe the different kinds of seeing that he and Peter experience. As we look at those three angles, it is helpful and directing for us today. Verse 5. Stooped, looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there. He did not go in. It's talking about John. That word that is used there for seeing means he observed without necessarily understanding. He observed without necessarily understanding. Now, this is a start. It's always a start for anyone, for all of us, and especially in a relationship with Christ or examining what Jesus is all about. It's a start. It really means observing the clues. Now think about that word and let that kind of hang there with you. Clues. Observe the clues. Look. John's come to the tomb. He's found it empty. He glances inside. His mind starts processing some data. Then we move to verse 6. Simon Peter, he came following John. He entered the tomb and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, the face cloth. We get a little more data. He saw everything. That particular word means he examined for the purpose of investigation. And the audience of that first century would understand the distinctions of all these words. John is observing the clues. Peter investigates them further with curiosity. Remember the one word clues and the second word curiosity. Peter looks a bit farther into the tomb, but a bit farther with the data. Begins processing, investigating. And that's what we need to do with the Bible. That's what we need to do with Jesus Christ. Do not let him go easily. Do not let the Bible go easily. Do not let Jesus go easily. Wrestle with Jesus. Wrestle with the Bible. You may be right now. You may not be a follower of Jesus. You may not claim to be a Christian. You may be as anti-God as one could be. Look at the clues. Investigate with curiosity. Write your questions down. Write your objections down. And then see how the data that is presented to you interacts with that data. Don't be afraid of the evidence that is presented. But also, we don't blindly accept it. But look at it with curiosity and keep wrestling with it. Clues. Curiosity. One last sight here in verse 8. So the other disciple, that's John, who had first come to the tomb, he also entered. He saw and believed. First of all, John observed without understanding. Peter examines for the purpose of investigation. John, it says he perceived with understanding. We don't use that word perceived a whole lot today, but it basically means understanding. Observed, examined, understood. It means they came to a conclusion. Make the obvious conclusion. So let's go over those three C's again and maybe just share them in your vehicles, in your house. Just shout them out. Number one, clues. Two, curiosity. Three, click the conclusion. We've looked at the setting. We've looked at the sights. The sights of no Jesus. We're not quite done here. The sights of yes, Jesus. Verse 19, they're in the room. The doors are shut. They are afraid. They have been inundated with all kinds of data that they are processing. And they get a little more evidence. Jesus came and stood in their midst. All of a sudden, Jesus is there, standing right in the middle of the crowd. In verse 20, he shows them his hands and his side. The reality of the crucifixion, removing all doubts that the one standing before them was the one who had been executed days before. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." What is seen when Jesus is in the house? What is seen when Jesus intersects and interrupts our life? In this ultimate moment of truth that history has never experienced before, the risen Christ comes to these disciples and reveals himself. And you think of his response, what he said to them, "Peace, peace be with you." Now, if it had been me, if I'd been Jesus in that situation, if I'd been treated like I've been treated over the last couple days, especially by the guys I've invested so much time in, I might respond like with something like this. "What were you guys thinking? Come on, knuckleheads, get it together." What a lesson Jesus is for me and for all of us. He responds with quiet gentleness, with open generosity. Peace. The Old Testament, there's a word for peace. It's called shalom. It means complete peace. Kind of the peace that only can be completely experienced through a relationship with God. The peace that is referenced here that comes off the lips of Jesus is closely connected to that Old Testament word. And as we think of the sights and the sounds that we have just witnessed over the last 3 days as we have worked through the crucifixion story, I call us to go back to the last words we heard from Jesus at the cross. "It is finished." And then the first words we essentially hear from him as a group is, "Peace be to you." It is finished. Peace. It is finished. Shalom. The work on the cross has accomplished peace with God. And how do we know that that's a truth and a reality? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This greeting of Jesus, of Christ to the disciples, this first greeting is a fitting greeting for us today and a fitting greeting for us as we go forward. When we see a brother and sister in Christ out in life, instead of, "Hi, how you doing?" "I'm fine." And life might be falling apart for us. Might be good to work into our life and into our conversations. "Christ is risen." And the response, "Peace, shalom." You say, I'm kind of shy. I don't know if I can pull that off at Menards or Walmart. How about we just try a little sign language? You see a brother and sister in Christ, just hold up three fingers, which means Christ is risen. And someone does that to us, and we can hold up that one finger. Peace. It's a start. Build on it. Well, that brings us to verse 20. Jesus has shown himself. He's given them a very peace-filled, peaceful greeting. And when they had seen this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Remember where they've been? In fear, in panic. And we'd have been there too. It makes sense. We're dealing with fear and panic and perplexities now. But as they see Christ, as they see the reality of their relationship with Christ, they rejoice. They are filled with joy. We can be filled with joy even if we're locked out. And even when we're locked in. Let me just ask you, do you know that peace that is being talked about here? Do you know the peace of God that deals with your sin, that deals with the unsettling circumstances of life? These disciples, as they meet Jesus and are greeted by Jesus, have absolutely nothing that they can offer Jesus. They betrayed him. They'd abandoned him. They were fussing and fighting continually between them. They have nothing to offer Christ. And I have nothing to offer Christ. And you have nothing to offer Christ. Outside of a broken heart and a repentant spirit. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead. He is God the Son. What he did on the cross 2,000 years ago conquers death, covers our sin, gives us the doorway to peace with God. Do you know that peace? Right where you're at right now, you can call out to God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the cure for my sin. I confess him as my Lord and Savior and receive the gift of salvation in my life. You can have the peace of God starting right now, and you can do it right now wherever you're at. Well, the story's not quite done. Verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." The world will now see what faithful followers of Jesus look like. Still imperfect, but followers of Jesus, at peace with God, which will bring them peace with one another. When Christ saves us, he saves us for a reason. He saves us for a purpose. There is something for each of us to do as long as we are here on this planet. For these guys, for me, for all of us, when we come to Christ, it will never be business as usual. It will never be normal again. As this health crisis likely settles down, it still will not be normal. Our world is forever changed. But the reality that Jesus Christ is on the throne does not change. And we have peace in every chapter of life. We can have peace in every chapter in life. What do these guys tell us? It's never business as normal, as usual, after we come to Christ. We look at the history, we look at the record. All of these men in that room will die a martyr's death. All of them are fearful of losing their life. They will end up losing their life for the cause. They all die except one. John, the author of this gospel. We might think, what a lucky guy he was. Well, he still died. He died after years of confinement for his faith in a desolate prison. He died after being tortured for Christ. He died after hearing of the martyrdom of the rest of the disciples who become his close, intimate friends.
It reminds us it can be easier to die for Christ than it is to live for Christ. Whatever he calls us to do, he gives us the resources to do. He gives us the help to do. Following Jesus is an adventure of ups and downs, but remember where it ends. It ends with peace with God for eternity. This text and this Easter 2020 context are a gift from God. They remind us it cannot be, it must not be business as usual for us who are followers of Jesus after this Easter evening. These truths remind us that Jesus will stop the world and invade our life to get our attention. He is stopping the world to get the attention of people around us. And he wants to use us to represent him and represent him well. As people begin to pay attention, we need to step forward with joy, with confidence, sharing the hope that we have and the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. Observe the clues. Investigate with curiosity. Click on the logical conclusion. Our truth for today, since Jesus Christ is risen, I can even be stuck at home and still at peace with God. Christ is risen, and our response is peace. Shalom. May the peace of God refresh your mind, refresh your spirit, refresh your steps for the glory of Jesus Christ today, this Easter evening, and in the week ahead. God has called out to get our attention. We want to pay attention. God is calling out to the people in our sphere of influence to pay attention. Let's remind them what we can offer them. Christ is risen. Peace is available to all who will come to the feet of Jesus with a broken heart and a repentant spirit. Father, I ask your blessing on each and every one here, on each and every one who is listening in today. We pray for your ongoing work in each of our lives. May we find no peace until we wrestle with Jesus and surrender to Jesus. And as we do that, we are now given a mission, a calling, and a cause in life that is bigger than us, that refreshes others. As you sent these men out into the world, you send us out into the world. May we represent you well. May we continue to wrestle with the facts and embrace them. Find our hope and our peace in Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. So great to see you today, to connect with you in one form or fashion. Ask your bless. Want to just bless you and know that we are praying for you. Thank you for coming out today, for those who are here. And represent Christ well. Pay attention. Have a blessed week in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for coming.